And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we are facing the greatest depression in America since 1929, perhaps even greater than 1929, in that the unemployment ratio of this week or next week appears to be rocketing towards 30 to 40%. At least these are the numbers we're getting from certain Federal Reserve boards. We don't know if they are accurate or not at this point, but America is facing a very serious depression, certainly the most serious depression in my lifetime since I was born in 1964. And Steve, by the way, as well, he's born in 1964, as I recall.
Yeah,
I'm a little bit older than
he is. Just within a few month or so of you. But I'm looking at you, Kevin, and you look relieved still. You know,
boy,
how can you...
Boy.
Are you relieved?
Boy, am I relieved, Steve. I am so relieved. The relief. I mean, talk about the relief. The relief bill.
I feel relieved.
Yeah, so. I mean, Steve, we all get $1,200.
Wow.
That'll last for about 4 days in our house.
Yeah, that's well, we have more than you have in our house, so I'm thinking probably three for us.
3 days, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. Well, solved. Done.
Yeah. But and,
wonderful.
And then what? Yeah. So, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, so what are you going to do with your $1,200, Kevin?
Yeah, as I said, it'll last 4 days.
Yeah.
We got a lot going on in our house. There's no question, friends, this is the largest government grab in all of American history. And you talk about FDR's New Deal and LBJ's Not-So-Great Society and all the rest. This is the biggest government grab in history. Our U.S. governments will now spend 60% of the GDP this year. That's a record, up from 38% under Obama, up from 30% under LBJ, up from 21% under FDR, up from 9% at the turn of the 20th century, 9 to 21 to 30 to 38 to 60. Does that sound like an increase or a decrease to you?
That sounds like an exponential increase to me.
Well, Steve, your math is excellent today. I'm commending you for your math. You've obviously been working with your homeschooled kids on your math. So
absolutely.
Increasing government's take of the economy from 9% to 60% is typically referred to as a massive increase. And friends, now government is totalitarian in America, is across the 50% line as of this year, and up to 60% this year. Each recession and depression becomes an excuse to increase the size of government and turning us into the socialist or the communist state. In America, we need to remember, in America, we didn't get communism by revolution. We did it by 20 recessions, depressions, and a couple of world wars. That's the way you get to totalitarian government when you're dealing with a freedom-minded people like Americans who have such a rich heritage of freedom that goes all the way back to Samuel Rutherford, the Puritans, Patrick Henry, Samuel Adams. I'll be sure you get a copy of American Faith, my friends. If you want to know the spirit that was within Samuel Adams, Patrick Henry, John Bradstreet, and many, many others, founders of our American Republic back in the 1600s and 1700s. There was something of a love for freedom back then, and now gone. But I encourage you to read The Story of Freedom, a story of how freedoms came to the Western world thanks to a Christian mindset, and yet, sadly, the Chinese communist worldview and the Soviet communist worldview is now pretty much the predominant worldview amongst Americans today. But the question has come up, Steve, is whether we should take our fair share of the relief bill. People have asked this question, including tax credits for Social Security, forgivable loans for small businesses and 501c3s, and, of course, the $1,200 per person tax rebate. Interestingly, Ron Paul interacted with the relief bill and noted in a recent interview that the relief bill was necessary, he said, to offset damage directly caused by government restrictions to combat the pandemic. But he said the economic downturn is a holdover from existing problems, so government is just trying to solve problems they created with an increase of government. And, of course, it's the massive debt influx of the last 10 years that has resulted in much of the problems we're dealing with now, including the corporate debt bubble. So the question comes up, are we going to take the money, the tax rebates, the free giveaways? That's the question, and we're going to look at it in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Friends, listen. There is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle, men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherd's Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation, 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat. There are only 45 spots open. Reserve now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you, Steve on also. And today we are talking about the free giveaways, the relief package, the $2.2 trillion relief package. I think it was passed by the U.S. Senate 96-0. The Congress pretty much unanimously, except for, I don't know, two or three guys, nobody could hear their voices during the voice vote. It was, you know, all drowned out, and I think they were throwing so many tomatoes and eggs at the guys that were opposing it that nobody heard anybody say no.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, it's, you know, just grab money and start throwing it as fast as you can. We answered the question where the money comes from on a previous program, and of course, that's our grandchildren. We're thankful for generous grandchildren. Sadly, Americans have killed 80 million babies, imploded their birth rates, and then drove their debt-to-GDP ratios through the ceiling, saddling their grandchildren with $140 trillion of debt and unfunded liabilities. So, okay, that's the blessing of a selfish, narcissistic, existentialistic society. But we're not going there now. We're just simply asking the question, what do you do with the tax credits? What do you do with the forgivable loans for small businesses and 501c3s? Well, let's hit the biblical principles involved here one by one. And again, Steve, I don't like to make the decision for everybody. I think people need to make the final application for themselves. This is what I'm encouraging with my church congregation is make the decision yourself. There is a measure of Christian liberty involved, and yet there is a biblical principle. There are biblical principles upon which we should make these decisions. Don't ignore the principles. Start with the principles, draw your application, make your choice, make your decision, and God will judge. That's what we read in Romans 14. Okay, so let's go over the biblical principles. It's our responsibility to be sure that biblical principles are in front of us. One of the things that I believe that the Lord Jesus brings to us in Mark 10:14 is that what the government pays for, the government controls. And when they ask if it's lawful to pay tax to Caesar, Jesus said, well, show me the coin. And he looked at the coin and said, whose image and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. What is he saying? He's saying, yeah, you're already using Caesar's money. Caesar coined the money. You're using it. Now you're going to have to submit to Caesar on your economic policies and such. But the point is that we don't always need to surrender. In fact, the principle involved is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you can be free, use it rather. We have liberty in Christ. In fact, we're told that Jesus died on the cross. You are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. We have an obligation to the blood of Jesus Christ to fight against tyranny and to avoid it, lawfully, obviously, and to find every way possible that we might be free from the unnecessary servitude of men. That's an obligation to the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there needs to be something of an appreciation for liberty, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So what the government pays for, the government controls. They'll tell you, you know, there's no strings attached to the money. But everybody knows this camel has a really long nose. He gets his nose under the tent, and then he works his whole body in. You know how this works, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
You surrender control of your 501c3 ministry government funding, and you're going to find government controlling your church a little more so than they did 10 years ago. Just a little more so. Why? Well, because governments, when they control the medical, when they control the 501c3s by funding, they feel an obligation to continue their control of it. The camel's nose is under the tent, and the shoulders will soon appear, and then the legs and all the rest. And then the second issue is, friends, let's not be hypocrites. You know, there are a lot of conservatives out there saying, hey, you know, I'm against all this socialism. I'm against all this big government taxation control. You know, I'm against all of this. They don't vote for socialists. They vote for the guy who is promising less government and less taxation, less control, less debt, less spending. So do you vote one way and then act another when it comes to the offering of the money? Are you a hypocrite on this? What was your commitment in the voting booth? Did you vote for Barack Obama with the intent that he would increase control and funding over private enterprise and get you some free medical care? Is that why you voted for Barack Obama? Well, be consistent. At least be consistent. Don't be a hypocrite. Thirdly, you know, there's a principle in Proverbs chapter 1. You know, don't run with the crowd to do evil. Don't run with the crowd to do evil. The Marxist approach has produced a massive race to redistribute the wealth from one class to another, from one group to another, one special group to another, one generation to another. The money grab, the envy, the greed, the redistribution of wealth, the corporate welfare, it just doesn't stop. Steve, it's not stopping. It just continues.
Yeah.
And are you going to be a part of this? Are you part of the money grab, the contest? And are you going to hire lobbyists to make sure you get your fair share of the wealth as government engages in this massive redistribution of the wealth orgy? Here's what Proverbs 1 says. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, hey, come with us, let us lie waiting to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways that everyone is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. So, still, another principle, especially when it comes to Marxism. Marxism has a way of creating a mob out of the democracy, especially when it comes to the redistribution of wealth. Friends, don't be a part of that. Don't be a part of the corruption. Don't be a part of the stealing. Don't be a part of the constant greed, envy, and violation of the Eighth Commandment that goes on in our systems today. Repent of it. Turn away from it. You don't need to participate in this.
But Kevin, I've got a question for you on that. Didn't I put my tax money into this? Aren't I just getting some of my money back, just a little bit of my money back? I mean, this was my money in the first place that I put into the government, and they're just giving me some of my money back. Isn't that what they're doing?
Well, I want to draw a distinction between systems, institutions, and universal offerings, and specific interest group offerings of cash. It ties into food offered to idols. Now, this is my fourth principle. By receiving or by participating, are we sending a message to our government or constituents that we approve of the gigantic money grab, free for all socialist systems or Eighth Commandment violations? And here's the problem is, yes, to some extent, not to entirety, but to some extent, our nation is socialist, but not everything. We still have some elements that are free of this. 1 Corinthians 10:25 says, eat whatever sold in the meat market, asking no question, for conscience sake. But if someone asks you or says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat of it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's in its fullness. It's one thing to offer an implicit approval of a system by applying for a loan and receiving a tax or versus receiving a tax rebate that's automatically generated off of your tax return. In other words, if you have to make a motion towards accepting some redistributed wealth, someone's asking you the question, will you take this redistributed wealth? And the implicit answer is yes or no, then you should not participate in it. Now, again, this is a matter of conscience. This is where it gets a little hairy. And I think every individual has to make this decision for themselves. We're forced to file tax returns at the risk of arrest and imprisonment. We can't exempt ourselves from it. We have to agree with our adversary while we're in the way with him when it comes to these taxes, lest we offend them. We're not forced to file applications for government funding of our ministries. We're not forced to do that. But we certainly are forced to file tax returns at the risk of arrest and imprisonment. And we may on occasion receive a tax rebate as part of filing the tax return. Well, that we never signed up for that. Somebody else signed us up for it and then put a gun to our head and forced us to participate. So we are not implicitly approving of the system. We can vote against it. We can refuse to apply for it. But we do take advantage of government systems over which we have no control. The roads, for example, Social Security, etc., because we're forced to fund these particular systems. There's also a difference between a universal offering and a favorable offering where only a certain number of people, a certain number of corporate business owners are benefited by other people's taxes. So there's a difference there. So socialism and Marxism, the stealing, the redistribution of the wealth, kicks in when the bennies flow to certain special interest groups. And as Christians, there are points at which we are oblivious to whether this is food that's been in the temple or not. But sometimes when we're introduced with a question, will you sign this application? Or will you sign this? Or will you hire this lobbyist to fight for your money so that you can get more government bennies against some other special interest group? You could say no to that. So you see, there's a difference there between the food as sold in the shambles or in the meat market and the food that is offered in the temple itself.
So in other words, if a thief goes and robs a bank and he comes to you and says, well, you know, I know some of your money was in there. Here's some of your money back. That would not be right. But if you went and withdrew that same money from the bank, that would be okay.
Sure. And let's say that you didn't know the guy robbed the bank and he said, here, I just came to, you know, give you a blessing. I just want to give you, you know, $2,000 or $3,000. And the guy's name is Robin. His last name is Hood, you know, and he wants to give you $3,000. You have no idea that he's been robbing banks. Different story.
Yeah.
Different story.
But if somebody came up and said, hey, he got that from robbing a bank, mm-hmm. then you turn that money back in and you turn him in.
That's right. Exactly. You don't participate in it. You don't run with the crowd to do evil. So these are the issues. And here's another thing I think we need to remember. Proverbs 13:22 says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. There are points at which I think we need to engage in some level of repentance. We need to express to our own grandchildren that we oppose these systems. We didn't participate in it. We did it the best we could. Now, maybe we didn't vote perfectly, and maybe we didn't, you know, turn down every tax rebate where maybe we could have ripped up a tax rebate, but at the very least, we voted against it. We did our best not to sign up for additional programs in which we would saddle our children with additional debts and our grandchildren. And I think that would be a good testimony to our children. Are we saying that we're having a good time so our grandchildren will have the bad times? We need to be asking ourselves those kinds of questions. And as I said before, also, we need to be more involved in private charity. So instead of just redistributing wealth and forcibly stealing money from some classes and redistributing to other classes, let's be involved in private charity. Let's get out of the greed game. Let's stop stealing and let's work with our hands so that we can give of our own money to those who are in need. How about that? What about that in times like these? Anybody have like an extra, I don't know, $2,000 that you can give to a next door neighbor who's unemployed? What about that? What about that? I would have to pull from my own account? You mean I would have to give my own money instead of stealing from somebody else? I could never do that. You know, socialism is always corrupting. And this is what's going to happen, friends. The more we use socialism, the more we apply to these massive bills based upon huge debt, the more we're going to eat out the character of our nation. We're going to eat out the character of ourselves, and we're going to eat out the character of our grandkids. We continue to allow for welfare, whether it's for the poor or for the rich, through corporate handouts, the more we involve ourselves in this socialism. You may say, well, you know, it feels good receiving the money. So far, nothing's happened to my character. Hey, you continue to do this for the next 15, 20 years, your character will be worth nothing, and your grandchildren will be even worse. So the decisions you make during times like these, I think, are critical. And finally, of course, check your motive. Is it the motive of greed? Are you responding to these things out of a motive of greed? Is that what it is? By the way, some have said, you know, you should just go out there and grab all the money you can get. Rob the Egyptians. Go to your neighbors. Borrow everything you want to and never repay them. Just like the children of Israel did. You know, that argument's ridiculous. That was a one-time divine prerogative. Or if you want King Cyrus to give you $500,000 to build your church, my recommendation, don't take it. It was a one-time divine prerogative, which, by the way, had been planned out for about 500 years before it even happened. And it was a demonstration of the sovereignty of Almighty God upon an emperor in about 550 B.C. Friends, no. We don't rob the Egyptians, borrow all their stuff, and then don't repay them. No. Ridiculous. What you need to do, let me close this way. You got to act in faith. Don't act in greed. Look to God. Don't look to the government. God is more generous than the government. His blessings don't devalue. His blessings don't corrupt you and corrupt your children, grandchildren. And granted, there is a degree of Christian liberty here. You know, I'm not trying to say that you need to do this or that. What I'm trying to say is these are the biblical principles. And all of us need to apply these biblical principles before God, trust in God, realize that God has more cattle on 1,000 hills than the federal government. By the way, the federal government has no more cattle. They're all gone. There are none. None left. All they got is 120% debt-to-GDP ratio and $150 trillion of unfunded liabilities. Okay, that's all the federal government's got. God's got all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the galaxies. So God has everything he needs to take care of us. So move ahead in faith. And by the way, represent some measure of repentance in the area of breaking the Eighth Commandment. All this covetousness, this theft, and this greed that has so characterized a system, an economic system, that is collapsing even as we speak. Rather, act in faith. Repent. Humble yourself before God. And trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I encourage you to my book, The Story of Freedom, which deals with this whole question of debt, slavery, liberty, etc. Please get a copy of The Story of Freedom. I know it's an unpopular subject. I understand that. But equip yourself with the biblical principles. Get a copy of The Story of Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.